Hi, and welcome to Navigate, the travel podcast by World Travel Protection. I'm your host, Alex Laidlaw, Technical Product Director. Well, with the return to international travel, it is more important than ever to be well-informed of potential risks and ensuring we all have a safe trip. But it takes more than a Google search or studying some travel guides to have the right information. That leads us to making more informed decisions. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Manu Iskansani from Riskline, a world-class travel risk intelligence company, to share what information is available to travellers today. Hi Manu, would you be able to give us a bit of context around the number of alerts that Riskline is generating per day and what this looked like over the last 12 months?
Yeah, I mean, I think like before the pandemic, we used to write, an approximation of like 60 alerts per day. This would greatly depend on like how busy the day is. There are days that in the life of an analyst are extremely busy with things happening all over the world, and others that fortunately for the world are maybe more quiet. But I think this number has like become more close to 90. I mean, in this last couple of years. And I think like in 2021, we've wrote nearly 33,000 alerts. And the number has been steadily increasing over the last 5 years. So this is like reflecting like us growing as a team of analysts, and also like the analysts getting really good in like tracking what needs to be tracked.
And that's including updating alerts as well, would it be?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, this include the updates, like the alerts could be like a one-off alert about something. But of course, there are many alerts that are about maybe a situation that evolves and requires, besides an initial alert, many other updates that will kind of track whatever is happening.
How do you determine which alerts that you post and in which ones you, I suppose, you hold back as they may not be as relevant? How do you make that determination?
I mean, fundamentally, there is one element that we are looking at, whether that incident is going to disrupt the travel in a significant way. Like, for example, delays of 30 minutes of flights here and there in an airport is probably something normal, but like widespread delays to every flight of many hours is not something normal. Or anything that could harm potentially or through an actual risk a traveler. So whenever one of these two is happening or is possible, we will deem the alert necessary and write it.
Great. How do you prepare travelers for traveling with the alerts? So do you provide information of situations that you know about in the future, maybe that aren't necessarily impacting right now?
There are fundamentally two types of alerts that we are building. I would say the most common type is what we call reactive alerts. So they will probably represent a large portion, a majority of the alerts. Essentially, when something is happening, you can imagine a terrorist attack or an earthquake or suddenly the announcement of a transportation strike. We will try to write an alert. Of course, something that is a breaking news type of event, like a terrorist attack, would deem a much higher priority than, say, a transportation strike. That is the type of reactive alert. Something is happening, we write an alert. We cover it. Okay, we got you covered. We cover something that is happening. However, there is a significant amount of alerts that are predictive in nature. So while it is important for travelers to receive a reactive approach with information, it's also crucial that us, as a travel risk intelligence partner, we provide information that is predictive. Predictive means we will know through our media monitoring activities about events that will happen, that will take place at a future date, whether it is a general election that could maybe bring some unrest in a country or maybe more than one country, or it is a demonstration, or it is maybe a transportation strike or something like that. We will write the alert before that event takes place. So the traveler who received the alert will have time to prepare, to take that into account whenever he or she is preparing for the travel.
Yeah, great. And just going back to the alerts, I know that alerts come with a severity rating and usually a categorization. So maybe you could touch on those. How do you determine the severity of an event when it's being posted out? And how do you categorize it, or what categories are you covering in these alerts that you're generating?
Yeah, so I mean, when we are writing the alerts, the critical aspect, other than writing the alert itself, verifying the sources, like I mentioned, is like doing the risk assessment. Every alert has its own risk assessment. To do so, we are following a security risk analysis methodology, which is applied to travel risks, obviously. So the first aspect is to, basically pick a risk in a scale from 1 to 5. So understanding whether it is a low risk or it is an extreme risk or any of the other levels in between. There are 5 risk levels. To do so, we are using obviously a matrix that is based on an intersection between, the likelihood that a specific event might happen and the impact that that event would have if indeed was happening. And so this would lead to the selection of the risk level. At the same time, we have the selection of a category. An alert can belong to one category only, and as well can have one risk level only. There are 7 categories that reflect, I would say, type of risks that a traveler could face. And for example, we have alerts that are related to political developments. So you could imagine things like, the run-up to an election or the immediately aftermath of an election, particularly in a country that is not so stable politically, or maybe a coup or something that could relate to a significant change in the political system of a country that does not necessarily happen peacefully. Another category is conflict and terrorism. So we will be covering basically something that could be related to either international or civil conflict, or of course being an incident of terrorism. Another category is related to demonstrations, or really anything where like a traveler in a city area maybe risk to get caught in a large volume of people who are demonstrating, regardless of what the cause might be. As well, this category is also maybe covering what the potential response by police forces or the army is with regards to the type of unrest they are facing. There are alerts also about crime. So anything that is crime related, however, I will probably need to clarify here that when we are writing alerts about crime, we are really thinking about crime that has a relevance for foreign travelers. So every country worldwide has, volumes of crimes that can change depending on a number of factors. But like what we are really paying attention to is like those crimes that a foreign traveler would want to know. So if you take the example of Thailand, for example, we would want to know, for example, any type of crime, even smaller ones, but that they have a potentially relevant impact on foreign travelers to the country. Another category are natural and environmental type of alerts. So it could be anything from like a tropical storm to an earthquake to a tsunami to a volcanic eruption. So anything that is like having a natural hazards type of component. The 6th category is like health risk. And as you would expect, this is like the largest type of alerts we have been writing in 2020 and 2021 because of, the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, obviously. The last category is like what we call travel safety and disruptions. And it is more like a macro category to mostly cover 2 type of situations. The first being like everything related to disruptions to travel, maybe because of a transportation strike or any infrastructural problem that would affect negatively the transportation. And the other will be like breaking news type of events. For example, a terrorist attack on the first alert that is being written, before it is established that it is a terrorist attack, we would probably rate it as a travel safety and disruptions type of alert.
Thanks. Manu from Travel Risk Intelligence Company, Riskline. So having this information is one piece of the puzzle. Joining me now to cover how this information can be analysed, turned into actionable intelligence that enables safe travel is Paul Trotter. Paul is a former intelligence officer with over 15 years experience in complex operating environments. Using his background in intelligence collection and assessment, Paul is now based in Brisbane, and he supports the World Travel Protection global effort for direction, collection, and assessment of intelligence used to inform our operations team and support our clients. So thanks, Paul. Just in regards to intelligence, you know there's obviously a high level of information that comes through, and we get an understanding of an event that's happening, but how does that become intelligence that is utilized?
So intelligence is essentially still information, but it's information that's been refined by an individual who's specifically trained and understands the processes. So detailed analysis and assessment of any information is essential in understanding how that actually impacts on the individual, the activity they're going to be undertaking, or the environment they're going to be operating in. So when we receive a piece of information, we'll take that and we look at it in concert with everything else that's happening at the time, historical information, examples of what's previously occurred, and then we'll actually develop a proactive assessment that, based off the likelihood of occurrence, how likely that thing is to occur, what impact that's likely to have, and from that we can then provide things like recommendations and advice on how to avoid or reduce risks and threats within the environment. Whether they're specifically related to the initial report or whether it's things like second and third order events, which are essentially things that perhaps wouldn't be the most obvious influencing factor, but they're definitely something that's, you know, tangentially linked and at times can actually be a more significant risk than the initial event.
Great. So if we look at a recent example of an alert that came through recently in Haiti, and it came through and it indicated that there was going to be fuel shortages and there were going to be protests that came from that, what would you do with what would be your process, I suppose, from receiving that information, so that high-level alert, and what would you then, what would be the process you would take to turn that into meaningful intelligence?
Sure. Haiti is actually a really good example, particularly this specific incident, just because it does demonstrate perfectly the second and third order effects. So essentially what happened was there was a reduction in fuel supply in Haiti created by the US sanctions on Venezuela. So already we're looking at a second order effect there. But what we were seeing a lot of in Haiti at the time was protests and petty criminality surrounding the fuel issues, and that was mostly localized around areas that were responsible for fuel supply on a sort of a larger scale rather than smaller petrol stations. But in certain areas of the capital, we were also seeing an increase in criminality towards things like fuel transport and fuel supply between the port and various petrol stations or gas stations. So immediately there's already sort of those second and third order effects. So what we actually did with that was take the information that we initially received that there's likely to be protests because of this fuel shortage and start to look at where those protests were occurring, tracking multiple reports across the geographic area, and then looking at things like those criminal events targeting those trucks. And we sort of drilled down that criminal gangs were getting more and more bold within the area. Historically, when we've seen criminal gangs start to organize and get more bold like that, we've also seen an increase in attacks that target not just things like fuel supply or whatever the specific target is at the time, but more towards things like expats, which is naturally a big problem as far as we're concerned. So we started to look at things like an increase in the probability of kidnap for ransom attacks. As a result of that, we actually pre-predicted an increase in kidnap events, including those targeting things like missionaries and the like. And if you remember, there was actually 16 missionaries kidnapped in Haiti, and that occurred about 2 weeks after we actually did this initial assessment.
Okay, so it's not just the initial alert of just there being no fuel and obviously protesting. It does go a lot deeper, then becomes like security threats are on top of that now as well, which may not necessarily be highlighted in an initial alert.
Exactly right, and that's essentially the key to intelligence, is always asking the so what. How does this affect me? Why does it affect me? You know, what impact is it going to have on my business or my safety or my ability to operate? And if sort of the information isn't providing that question, that's when professional intelligence personnel are really able to support a business. And it isn't just specifically safety and security things either. It's things like business continuity and crisis planning, you know, reputational management, all sorts of sort of areas that perhaps aren't traditionally areas that you sort of associate with intelligence support, but definitely areas that can benefit from it.
Great. And for organizations and travelers, if they're reviewing intelligence, what do you suggest are the three, or let's say the top three things that they should be looking for in an intelligence report?
So the first thing is that it should definitely be bespoke and tailored to the specific need. Having a generic intelligence report doesn't provide value to the individual or the organization because it doesn't factor in their specific needs. Again, sort of the real issue there is that threat picture changes, or you know, the impacts change based off different factors like gender or sexual orientation, ethnicity, religion, all those kind of things. They increase or decrease your threat profile based on the specific environment and the culture and everything else that you're going into. So being bespoke is sort of the very key one. The next one is focusing on the actual assessment and seeing if it answers a question that's specific to you. If that report or that briefing or the advice that you get doesn't have a specific so what, and that is, you know, a predictive assessment on how the environment or the activity, the event is going to impact on you, then it's not answering the specific question and it is just very broad information at that point. The final thing is that they should always be able to question and challenge the report or the brief or the individual that's produced it, and that individual should be able to defend what they've provided at all times and provide continuous clear examples of how that's going to affect and why. They should be able to essentially, to borrow from my high school maths teacher, show they're working.
Great, yes. Well, thanks, Paul. That's a great insight and things and items for organisations and individuals to look out for. There's a lot of events happening at the moment. You're obviously in intelligence. What do you think are some of the things that are going to become quite prominent over the next few weeks, months in the global landscape?
Short term, I don't think we're going to see any major changes. But over sort of the moderate to long term, as we start to go back to travel, we're going to see an increase in things like localized crime, particularly targeting business travelers and tourist travelers. But it's going to be in more atypical areas than what we've seen historically or sort of pre-2019. So whereas previously you might have expected to maybe be pickpocketed or extorted in a tourist area, that's sort of going to broaden out a lot, and it's going to be in more countries than what we've historically seen as well. And that's purely down to the economic impacts that the pandemic has had globally on not only businesses being forced to shut down, but also the individuals, as well as things like increased costs due to supply chains. The other big one is politically motivated violence and extremism. The rise of things like the influence of conspiracy theories was very predictable at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. Typically, these kind of things are driven by a loss of control, or a sense that individuals have lost control, and what they'll generally start to do, it's a natural human reaction, is look for someone else to blame. And as we've seen, that's given a huge rise in conspiracy theories and things like QAnon, COVID mandate resistance, COVID vaccine resistance, belief that Bill Gates is trying to put microchips in people's heads to control them. All those kind of things are a natural byproduct of a loss of control, and they don't necessarily get turned off just because the COVID-19 pandemic has sort of drawn to a relative close in a lot of people's minds. And it's at the same time that's really started coming to a head with political tribalism that's spreading, and there's a big rift now, as we've all seen, between progressive and conservative politics, and the whole issue is being politicized, and individuals are being driven to sort of anything from protesting where they normally wouldn't, right through to things like actual violent response, which we've just recently seen in Buffalo, New York, where an individual's belief in a conspiracy theory has led to the deaths of 10 or so people.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. And we're starting to see those secondary and tertiary effects of the pandemic taking place. And no doubt we'll probably see them evolve for a while yet to come. So thanks, Paul. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Navigate, the travel risk podcast by World Travel Protection. To stay current on our latest episodes, be sure to like and subscribe to our podcast. You can also visit our podcast page, which is linked in the show notes, to review the previous episodes and access transcripts. That's it for now. Safe travels. Goodbye.